really is always my privilege to be in Believers Fellowship and be with you all. I just appreciate the invitation and the opportunity. I have a bit of a humorous joke that I was going to have in the middle of my lesson, but unfortunately, it apparently came out. I was going to say at some point in time, please turn to... I was going to imitate Jay Hoffler and say, please turn to page 67 in your handout. And Bobby and I miscommunicated, and so he printed out my PowerPoint presentation. So you have that in front of you, and then you have the intended handout. And so Harry said to me, he goes, thank you for consulting with my ophthalmologist and making the print as large as you did. So, just a very brief background, if I could, and that is, Emily and I had the good fortune of going to Italy, and we went to a wedding. It was not the big wedding, but we did go to a really sweet wedding. And it put us 2.5 hours away from Ben Hamner. And we tried to make the connection to go to church with him, and it didn't work out. You can imagine what when I saw the prayer request that Ben, and I was, it kind of shook me there for a minute. But it was good to connect with your son, just even in that way. But the reason I even share that part of our story is that Emily and I flew back on July the 4th, and so we landed in Dallas rather late the night of the 4th, and I awoke the next morning to Rebecca's email. That was the first information that we had about it, so it was very shocking. And then I know that Mark did his best this past Sunday, and I thought his adjustment to Psalm 16 and all that he did for us there in the worship service was spectacular, but you know, this is not one of those things that last Sunday we grieved it and moved on. I don't know if y'all are like me, that there's just been so many other kind of stories coming in that it continues to touch on a very deep level, and then the multitude of the stories touch on a very deep level, and has caused me to say, okay, now I'm called to stand in front of the Believers Fellowship and teach a lesson on something that I hope will communicate to you the things that have been really touching me throughout the past week. And Mike, your prayer really spoke so much of what my lesson is going to be about. But there's a place I hope that I can take this and we really perhaps see it in a little bit of a different light, okay? Not different, excuse me, just a more significant way. One of the brief just stories, and I know if we opened it up, every single person would have something that has in the past week that they heard really touched them very deeply. But I was blown away. Okay. Oh, it is? Okay. That's interesting. I was blown away when I heard a story about one of the young counselor girls, and I'm sorry, somebody in here probably knows her name, Chloe. Yeah. And she had a little sticky note on her mirror before she went to camp, and it was this verse here. And you think about it, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. And that was the verse that her parents found when they went into her room and found that as a sticky note on the mirror. Now, again, everybody's heard something, but that part of that story really, really touched me. And that's where we do. We We come today with almost a importance of us saying, I cannot let the circumstances of this world, the tragedies, anything of that, move me away from being able to have complete and utter dependence upon Him. And so there's where, in my message today, I really want to extend the opportunity to have group participation and group discussion. I will say that my hearing has continued to decrease. And so if I ask a question, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so I know who's getting ready to say something. Then I'm going to ask you to speak a little bit loud. And then I've got Emily here to repeat it to me if I still can't hear it, okay? So I'm trying to do my best to make sure that we are able to get this.
I just want to make sure you're recording.
Yes, I am.
Some of the presenters don't.
Okay, so our verse for today is Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. And really want to try to drill down on this in a way that I think will be helpful to all of us. It starts out by saying, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And I want to stop there. The picture that I began with here, I'm sure some of you know, that's my mother, that's me. As maybe a two-month-old, okay? And you think about just the beloved child, and you look and you see what she's offering, what she's providing, what that child's receiving, the comfort that's there, et cetera. And so then we come on and we say, okay, here we are. We say, be imitators of God as beloved children. One of the joys that I had, I'll say two joys, actually. When we were in Italy, Emily did a remarkable job of providing a tourist basis for us and a rest and relaxation, which I had requested. And so one day we were sitting out beside the swimming pool. Have no idea. I think this couple was from Mexico, but the father and his little child watching them play in the water. And seeing the father grab the child and hold it up and do all this and then have the child scream and, you know, out of joy and all. And I just, here I was working on the lesson while I was there and just thinking, beloved children, and seeing just the joy that was going on through that. And it really continues even now to touch. But that's where then we think about the situation that we're seeing in the Hill Country. And those that have lost their beloved children. And I know that there's people in here who have lost a child, and I don't want to be insensitive to that at all. But I realized that there was something that I bumped into that was so interesting to me. Emily and I do have a 9-year-old granddaughter. And for some reason, isn't it that 8 and 9 has just been, we keep hearing stories about that age group kind of thing. And they live in Utah. And I had this profound kind of thing sitting there of, yes, I deeply love my 9-year-old granddaughter. Deeply. She is very special. And I would weep over that. But when I thought about how would I ever be able to comfort my daughter who had lost her child, and I realized in that she was still my beloved child at 33 years old. I think we can all connect with that to some degree. And that profound thought and feeling of what a father's love for his or her child. And it was so profound to me that I just continued to kind of sit in that. And I thought about the verse that we're looking at here today. as beloved children. And I'm starting out by talking about how the father, a father, Pat Hoban, his beloved child, that love that we think about and experience and that we sometimes see, like I did in the swimming pool, but we realize that's the father with you as the child. And if we can ever really fully receive and accept that and live in it to its fullest. Because I come from a perspective that says, look, I'm not sure that we can ever really fully live out all that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ until we fully understand how beloved we are. And the problem with that is that the world throws up so many things, our past throws up so many things that tell us, beloved, far from it. And yet we talk about here as his beloved children. The next slide is such a sweet one here. And this is my dad. It's with my nephew, Kirk, Marcia and Steve's youngest son, and his little boy at the time, who's now a little bit, several years older, named Elliot. And you just see several things in that picture that I hope come to you. You know, if you look at first the way my father is looking and his countenance, and you look at Kirk and where he's looking and his countenance, and you look at Elliot and you see what is on with him. And that's why I ask these three questions here for, you know, you see the father's eyes, you see the great-grandfather's, you see, you know, the peacefulness surrounding all of them and the security of the child. And this is what we just continue to come back, is we see, wow, that deep, deep love of the Father. And can we really live in it? Now, I hope y'all are patient with me and showing you family photos, but I mean, and then I have to ask the question, do you realize this is you? These are two of our granddaughters that live in Utah. And you just see how they're at rest and they're having fun. And I don't think they're worried about things. And I just want to continue to say for us here today, you know, that in the metaphorical sense, this is us. And we're Elliot. But we're also even Kirk. Yeah. And so we come on and we go, okay, let's look at this word, what beloved. And beloved means, the Greek word there means beloved, means esteemed, dear, favorite. You think, well, how could that be? And it's like, well, guess what? There's like an $8 billion or 8 billion people tie for favorite, okay? You know, that the love that he has is beloved. If I just sit in here for today, the 75 or 80 people that are here today, we are the beloved. We are the favorite. And then the one that I think, if the Greek word here is accurate, worthy of love. And yet we realize, well, wait a minute. No, we're not worthy. But yes, we're worthy because of not something that we've done, but because we're deemed worthy. Okay? So that's the Greek word that's there for us. But then we come up and we say, okay, well, let's take a look at where else this word beloved is used, all right? So Matthew 17:5 takes us to, he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. listen to him. All right? Now, if I said to you, that's really happened what happened just shortly after, and my father said that to his grandson, Kirk, it's his beloved grandson, but no, we've got to realize, and I know this is obvious, this is the Holy God using that word, this is my beloved son. We're called beloved children. So this is the time where I do want to ask a question. Yes, Meredith? Your comment would be received.
You've been circling around this idea of what it would be like for you to comfort your daughter in the loss of a child. And God is the Father, but he has Jesus the Son, and he didn't have Jesus adopt us as children. He had Jesus bring us in as brothers and sisters of himself, and therefore we have that level of intimacy with the Father, not the third generation removed.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. And I so appreciate, because that's exactly what I want us to realize, is that if Jesus, his beloved son, and we're the beloved children, then by the work of Christ, it does all come together in that same way. And it's like, do we really understand that and believe that? And then I have to use this last phrase, and then live that out. Because that's where we end up with, it's like, it's a nice thought, but this is one I want shaping me every single morning I get up and the way I walk out the door and live life as the beloved. Now, I appreciate where Meredith went with that, but I want to just say, if I were to propose for us here, what does it mean for us to be thought of as we're the beloved children and Jesus is the beloved son? What does that really mean? Where do y'all go with that? What strikes up in your head? And if you remember, I'm just asking, raise your hand so I can go, but does that bring forth any thoughts in your own mind? Yes, Joy?
You know the phrase, when someone's just not acting right, and you say, act your age.
Yes.
We need to act your age. We need to act our status.
That's right, act our status. Okay, I love that. Yeah. Yes, Tom?
When one of us speaks, could you please kind of encapsulate that for the Zoomers? Because having been a Zoomer,
okay,
you cannot hear that.
Thank you, Tom. Yes.
You.
So I appreciate that. And that was where Joy said that where we're called to act our status, the comment, act your age. Well, we're called to act our status as the beloved child or children, okay? Yes. Yeah, Scott?
I was thinking about the parable of the prodigal son and how the son went and just completely messed up everything he had.
Yes.
But he was never not loved.
Right, okay. So Scott used the example of the prodigal son. And he went up and screwed everything up. As Scott said, he came back, but he was never not the beloved son. Okay? Yes. Okay? All right. Yeah, Dave?
Yeah, Matthew 18, he tells us, turn and become like children. So I get that status is that we are beloved children.
Yes.
We need to remember to act like children.
Yes. That's right. Act like children. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe some people in here don't control.
Well, it's so interesting because we do, to act like children, and if I could just say it, with that childhood innocence and trust, okay? Those are the things that are given to us, not things that we have to try to figure out. And so, it's this beautiful place that we come to that, we want to go, okay, how in the world do I do that? Now, I appreciate where Dave just went, and I would encourage you, if you want to have something that will spark your sense of worship, go look up where in the New Testament where the word children is used in a verse, okay? I did that. I can't remember now if there's 91 or something like that, but I read through all of them. Some of them were irrelevant, but many of them were just so beautiful. So I just would encourage that on your own to do that. But we see Matthew 17:5. This is my beloved son, which makes that sense of connection for us that we want to live out in that way. Okay, and then we come to the next verse that's in your handout, Colossians 3:12-13. And so look where he goes with this. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on this, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, etc. But I want us to realize first, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. All right. When was the last time that you could say to me that you really felt holy? Okay. You know, I mean, I had one of those just wonderful holy moments yesterday where we have two garage doors. We have a garage door opener. And I'm wanting to close, I backed out wanting to close one, but instead I opened the other one. Uh-oh. Yes. That turned into a very unholy moment. You know, it's like, are you kidding me? That I would allow something as ridiculous as that to have me just bark out something that, you know, I go, well, I wish I could take that back. You know. And yet I'm fearful that those kind of things can even, that small thing can make us feel unholy, and then the bigger things. And the reality for us is that, look, my position as being holy is never because of my behavior and activities, et cetera, and my thoughts, but it is because of my absolute dependency on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the beautiful part here then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, you know, I just want to hold that up to you all today with the hopes that you will take that out with you as we exit the doors, with the hope that it will take it into the sanctuary here in a short period of time and take it home. And he goes, I am the beloved. And yet there's so many things that scream at us that says, no, you are not. Now, as a counselor, I will tell you that most of the time, the things that scream at you that says, no, you're not, are things from your past. And the beautiful part of it is, where the gospel does, it doesn't just redeem us in the present. It redeems the past, the present, the future. It redeems everything. And so there's where we want to continue to see. But I'm going to talk about that even a little bit. And so we come to the next verse from Jude 1. It says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. We are called beloved. Okay? I love that. But I wonder if I'm just able to say, well, you know, some people call me this, some people call me that. And yes, okay, I'm called the beloved. But it's like, do you realize that truly is your identity as the beloved? It's not just a nickname, okay? David and I, going back as far as we do, I call him Davy, he calls me Patty, okay? And yet, we're talking about something here. I could also tell you Robert Ray's nickname, but do you understand what we're trying to communicate here? To those who are called the beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, And so as we continue to just try to gain this, I present to you the slide here that says to us, what makes you his beloved? And if we're not careful, these four things are what we can depend on to merit being the beloved. Our performance, okay? Well, look, I've done this, 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 this. My relationships, well, I know so-and-so, 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 and so-and-so. My knowledge, oh, let me just share a little bit more. I've already shared a little bit of Greek with you this morning, but let me just share a little bit more of Greek, and I'll probably get into some Hebrew too as well, you know, or my standing. This is who I am. This is what I've done. This is my role. This is my position, whatever it might be. There's probably more on that list that we could make. But the sad thing is that even if you just take these four things, it is tragic how they call us away from being fully the beloved and thinking that I've done something to become that, or I have fallen short of that. And that's the grief part, I think, that's so profound. And so, the obvious thing, what makes you his beloved, it's only through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't say that as an afterthought. I say it because Mike communicated that in his prayer. I've said it a couple of times already. It's only through the finished work of Christ. I had a really sweet thing happen yesterday, or a couple of days ago, actually, which was I had gone through a drive-through, Chick-fil-A, and the young man, when he handed me my drink, I saw that he had a tattoo, and it was the three crosses. So I said, could I ask you to explain to me what the tattoo is about? And he goes, sure. And he said, this was the first one that I had placed, and it was where Jesus Christ on the cross. But later I realized I needed, and he proceeded to show me the big crown as well. And that was the risen King who had overcome death. And that saying overcame death for us. And so what makes you his beloved? Only through the finished work of Christ. And so we come now to just this idea of he tells us we are to be imitators of God. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, I think that's where we can fall and spend too much time on this verse. How do I imitate God? What does it look like? And my joke at this time, before you all got my PowerPoint handout, was to say, I'm going to imitate Jay Hoffler right now. And that is, okay, now if you'll turn with me to page 67 of your handout, and yet now you all have one that's even bigger than what Jay normally hands out. And we miss Jay. He's got COVID, in case we didn't say that. But it says here, Webster's definition, a person who adopts the appearance or behavior of another, especially in an obvious way. All right. And so I cannot be an imitator of God unless I realize first that I am his beloved child. And when I do that, that childhood innocence causes me to live in a trust, causes me to live in a degree of innocence and gratitude and joy and thankfulness, and causes me to realize that I am his and I want to follow him. And then how do I do that? It says, walk in love, which says to us, that's who he is. If we're to imitate him, he is love. We walk in love, and then the definition and description of love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Wow. Now, what was that all about? That he was a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God for us. I know that we could easily say, gosh, Pat's just kind of preaching the gospel this morning, and doesn't he realize that everybody in Believer's Fellowship, you know, are followers of Christ? And I go like, yes, but there is an element here that I want us to understand, and it is, as the beloved, walk in love. And what does that mean? Friends, I will just say, and again, I'm talking about Pat Hoban, and it is Pat Hoban saying this to you. Walking in love requires an immense amount of sacrifice on our part. Because now I am no longer living for my agenda, but his agenda. And now I am saying to him, where would you like me to go? And how do I love in this situation? I'm not going to spend a lot more time on that, but I'll just tell you, I think that's a place that we all need to really give consideration to. What does it mean to walk in love? And then to realize, wow, how as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, calling us, as Meredith said, to be in the family, as brothers and sisters, as we're children of the Most High God. And so we look at that word, love, it's the word agape there, affection, goodwill, love, benevolence, brotherly love. It's used 116 times in the New Testament. And then for us, a verse that we hear quite often, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The only reason I put that there, not to preach the gospel to you, but to remind us we were still sinners when this came out. We didn't earn it, deserve it, anything like that. And we can say, that is no longer me. I am now his beloved because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Yes.
I was just going to make the point that, you know, the first verse, when God said, this is my beloved son.
Yes.
When you love, whether you're God or man, you make yourself vulnerable. And, I mean, it's hard to think that of God as being vulnerable.
Yes.
But he is.
Yes.
Because he's chosen to love.
Wow.
And so he sent his son after us.
Yes.
His beloved son.
Mm.
And became vulnerable. And now he's calling us by the same spirit of Jesus that lives in us to become vulnerable.
Yes.
And to love.
Okay. Thank you, David. Just that whole emphasis of that, you know, we are called to be vulnerable in the love that we share. It opens us up. And the Lord Jesus Christ, or God through the Lord Jesus Christ, opened himself up in that way. He was vulnerable. We too are called to be vulnerable. And, you know, we know that he realized what was going to come forth through Christ's death, but still can only imagine the pain and agony for him. But to then see where we are now, what he's done for us. So thank you, David. I love that. Yes. Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, God sent Christ for us while we were still sinners. And it's so easy for us to justify not loving someone because of their sin.
Yes.
Because of their actions.
Oh.
So displeasing to us.
Yes.
And so we're called to love. And I'm preaching to myself.
Yes, yeah.
Those who are unlovely.
Yes. Thank you. That whole thought of that we're called to love, we were still sinners, but now we look at other people and we can be judgmental of their sin if we're not careful, but we're called to love in that way. Thank you. Yes. Carrie?
Oh, it, conversations this week, I mean, with all the tragedy that has happened this week, I think it hard for a lot of us, even who walked with the Lord for a long time, to think, how do I see God's love in this?
Yes.
And it makes me think of the end of Romans 8, that nothing can separate you.
Yes.
From God, neither death nor life.
Okay.
And then that, you know, just, but I'm praying, and I think all of us are praying, that we would have wise responses to these things.
Okay.
Am I hearing something?
I think somebody on Zoom must be commenting.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So what Carrie said there was, you know, the idea that how do we view this in light of the tragedy? And she went to the end of Romans 8, nothing can separate us, life or death, and we want to really cling to that and believe. I would like to just add, you know, that one of the realities that we live in is that we live in a broken world. And there are many things that we experience that we're kind of like, oh, that's so tragic, or how do I understand that? And to me, we come back, we live in a broken world. Thanks be to God, it has been redeemed. And we want to see where that takes us. But it's not that all the circumstances themselves are redeemed. And that's what we have to continue to lay on the altar, so to speak, or the table. I'm not living according to circumstances. And today, the emphasis would be, I'm living as His beloved child. And that's where my focus goes. I know that we had the comment made, you know, it's not the why, it's the who, and how powerful that that is. As we wrap up, just taking our final thought here, that says the word walk. Walk as imitators, to make one's way progress, to make due use of opportunities. The reason that I circle back to this was only because I would like for us to realize we're called to walk. Sometimes it's kind of like, no, I'm called to run, and I want to make this, and you know, it's kind of like, this is the walk is something that we are continually doing on a daily basis and living this out. Bobby?
I think it's important, at least for me, to not grade ourselves in what we've achieved with respect to this lesson and the underpinnings of it. You know, what's happened in the past has happened. Don't let it burden you with respect to moving forward with God's vision for you.
Yes.
And your outreach for His kingdom.
Thank you. Bobby's just saying, don't let the past burden you. And I would even take it a little bit further than don't let it burden you.
No, leave it just the way it was.
Okay. Yes, yes. But it's only the simple thought of, but I do want to have the past as a reminder of the grace that's been poured out upon me. To shake my head and go, I do not deserve this, but thanks be to God. I also want to learn from the past and say, wow, I saw the brokenness there. I want to trust and see life over here. And so my final two questions are just, how are you walking today? Okay. And then I really mean this one in all sincerity. Are you in need of any help? And the reality is for us, the age group that we represent in here, we virtually or typically refuse to answer that question. Or we answer it with a four-letter word, which is what? Fine. Okay, let's be truthful and honest. Let's walk out of here today as beloved children. Let's be in the family. Let's realize, what does it mean for us to be His beloved? What does it mean for us to live out as the beloved? What does it mean even for us relationally in here, in marriages, families, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Lord, help us with that. Father, may our hearts truly embrace not just our minds, may our hearts today truly embrace we are Your beloved children. And we thank you for that. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.